All believers are supposed to be quite active in reading the Bible and are supposed to know a little bit about it. Now, who can find Albania in Bible? Quick, quick. Come on. It's in there. I'm not playing any jokes. Huh? Who can find it? Please. All these Bible students here, come on. Huh? Find it. Come on. Book of Romans. I'm helping you. Yeah? Which chapter? Come on. This is a non-interactive audience here tonight, I think. Yeah, we have something. Yeah. They might laugh or something, but that's about as far as it goes. Chapter 15. I already said that. And verse? 26. Really? Well, Macedonia and Achaia, that's close. That's across the border. We go to Macedonia on our way to Greece quite often, or through it. Land of Alexander the Great. A little bit earlier. Verse 19. Paul's talking, he says, in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Albania, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Illyricum is Albania. This is the ancient name of Albania, Illyricum. Illyria, they still have a city, a small town called that, Illyria. They found statues there. They found a lot of artifacts from the Roman times. Paul traveled through Albania and preached the gospel there many years ago, but in the process of time, there was no gospel testimony left there. The Turks came in, they wiped them out, they killed them, or they forced them at the point of the sword to change their faith, and that separated the true ones from the false ones, and they were gone. But anyway, Paul preached there, and now we have the privilege of preaching once again in Illyricum. In 1990, the country was opened back up after about 45 years of communism. It was a dictator that was there in Verhulja from after World War II until he died in 1984, 85, something like that. And then the leaders that came in after that were a little bit softer. And finally, in 1990, they had a sit-in by the students, an hunger strike, and they said at the college, we want freedom, we finally want it now, and the leader's really been ready for it, but everybody distrusted his neighbor, and he said, I don't want to be the first one to say it. But finally it came. 1990, the country opened up, Secret Service was still in effect there, spying on everybody, in such a way that even when I was there in 1995, 1996, and traveling around to all the villages, you'll see several villages here, they followed me around. And they were asking questions. And some of the believers and some people that were interested in the gospel were afraid to talk with me, afraid to have me in their homes. And they wouldn't tell me. Finally, one person, after months, I'm like, what's going on here? Why are people cold with me now? And after months went by, somebody with fear and trepidation approached me and said, there's a problem. Well, what is it? And he explained that the Secret Service had been following me around. I look like a really bad character. I know that. But they keep telling me I should shave my beard off, and I look like Al-Qaeda member for sure. But I haven't had any problems on the airlines yet. So anyway, we're going to see a slideshow of Albania. Just a few of the things that are there. It's a very mountainous region. 70% of the country is mountains. It's a small country. I always compared it with Colorado from where I was from. It was a tenth the size of Colorado, but had the same population, 3 million people. Of 3 million people, about 700,000 to 900,000 are immigrants. They've gone temporarily out of the country for work, reasons, because there's no work there. In the city where we're at, in our small province, county, whatever you want to call it, when I first arrived, there was 50% unemployment. 50%. And now, from the money that people have gotten when they've gone over to Greece, mostly, and sometimes Italy, they've earned money, they've come back, plus the drug money, plus the trafficking money for arms and things like that. That money does circulate back into the economy somehow. This has helped to revitalize things somewhat. And now we have only about 20% unemployment. So we're doing quite better. I guess the drug trade does have its advantages in certain areas. But I want to leave up here, not leave permanently, but after the service, whoever's curious can come up here. Here's the Bible that I use in Albanian. It's really easy to read. I mean, we could open it up to, I don't know, somewhere. What's a good passage there, Brother Fred? Okay, Philippians 1, 20 and 21. People always like to hear what other languages sound like, don't they? And then they just like to say, oh, I could never learn that. Yeah, well, that's what I thought. My wife thought the same thing. Philippians 1, 20 and 21. Sipas të pritërit tim, me padërim dhe me shpresë, se unë nuk do të tërpërohem në asnjë gjë, por me çdo të guxim, tani, si gjithmonë, Krishti do të madhërohet në trupin tim, ose me jetën, ose me vdekjen, sepse për mua të jetuar është Krishti, dhe të vdekurit fitim. Yeah? Is that true? For me to live is what? Christ. And to die is what? Gain. Fitim. And it's a joy to know that the Lord helps you. When you die to self, the Lord helps you. Not just dying physically one day, which is what he's really talking about here, but also dying to self and voluntarily giving up your rights to live the life that you maybe think that you deserve and go someplace, the Lord will be with you and he'll help you. And that's what we'd love to see here. I'll leave this open to Philippians. Well, I just had it glued. It was kind of worn out over there, and I'll just leave it open to Psalms 23 because that's in the middle of the Bible, basically. People could read that if, out of curiosity's sake, okay? So take some time and just look at it. No language is impossible to learn. I've seen children 2 years old learn languages. I mean, you probably have them here. Yeah? All right. Any language should be learned. Okay. We also have a new version of the New Testament. They're working on a revision of the entire Bible. We have some sisters in our assembly that are grammar teachers on a college level. They teach teachers. And they are working on it together with some other people that have a great desire to improve the translation that we have that was actually translated from Italian into Albanian in 92 to 95 when it was finished. But it was done quickly. There are a few just silly mistakes in there that they just didn't catch, you know, in their editing. But now we have a new version that's coming out. This is a copy of the New Testament. It's very beautifully done, and it'll be a big help to us. So you can pray for the work of translation. It's very important to have a good translation, but when you change from the original one, the first one that you had, and go to the second one, there are problems. And if there were big blunders in the first one, and they're corrected in it, they wonder, well, which one's right? Were they lying to us before or not? So pray for it and pray for reception of that, of the gospel. We have, here we go. Money. Albanian money. Or as some people, whenever we get out of the country, they call it funny money. You can use it for Monopoly if you want. Game of Life, things like this. But it just took a few notes that I had in a drawer. I brought them over here. You can look at this. And no, this is not $500 bills, you know, so. Don't think of taking it. You can't convert it anywhere here in the Americas. Okay. And then we have a hymnal that we've printed in our house. There are some hymnals with a few more songs that are done better, but their translations are not as good. And we pick and choose or else do our own translations and put the songs in here that we like best. Tomorrow, Lord willing, we'll try and teach you a song together with Brother Mark. One in Spanish and one in Albanian. We'll be speaking in tongues up here, you know. But there will be interpretation, don't worry. Okay, but you can see it, and we do it quite economically. We had some brothers that sent us from Germany a photocopier. It does 45 pages a minute and collates and everything, and it really helped us out a lot. So you can thank the Lord that we're able to do things like this. Now, as we go through the slideshow, I assume the lights will be off, right? Yeah, okay. Might need a few more off. I have a few pictures that are a little bit dark, but hopefully you can see it well. If you have any questions, afterwards you can talk to me, because I know Brother Fred will be anxious to get on to his part of the of this evening. Let's see. And I think for, let's see, if I stand here in the middle, is it, does it bother people? I'll sit down then. My wife won't mind. Okay. Okay, we're going to take you on a trip to Albania. And this is, we commonly, or oftentimes, load up the Land Rover. This is a Land Rover that Brothers in Northern Ireland bought for the work in our area. And we oftentimes load it up pretty heavy. And you might not think it's possible, but we've had 27 in a Land Rover, or in and on Land Rovers. So come with us on a ride and see the country. These are typical roads that we go through to the villages. Like I said, it was 70% mountains, also 70% Muslim. Although they're not practicing Muslim, that's not much of a problem with us. So we have a lot of, I spend a lot of time mechanicking and repairing the car because of the roads. Shock absorbers do not last more than 4 or 5 months. But this is, it's a beautiful, beautiful country when it's green. It does rain a lot, and it's terribly muddy in the wintertime. And we do have asphalt roads that connect the major cities, but that's not where the majority of our time is spent. Here's some believers. Huh? Yeah, and donkeys down there in the bottom coming up with loads of wood. And car in the background there. There were Germans that came there. This is a beautiful overlook there, and some young believers and some interested people came to hear the gospel. Bridges are, yeah, they're there. You can cross it. And now and then there are big holes in them that you figure out a way to patch them before you can cross. And yes, that is a drop off on the right hand side. And no, you would not want to even try and walk down there without a rope. But this goes up into a wild mountain area, and we've taken a lot of help up there. There's, 2 hours of dirt road like this. Not smooth. This is a real smooth, nice area of it. So, you see things along the way, cattle and whatnot. It's an interesting time. And you arrive at places like this. This would be the last house in the village. They built this all by hand. And it's totally unfinished. It's cement floors. Walls are not even plastered. Most of it made out of cinder block. But that's all they have. And the father lives there. Now, his daughter was married in a nearby village. Happened to be there on a day when we had a Bible study. And said, well, that interests me. Could I have a Bible? So the sister that was there giving a study gave her a New Testament. She took it home. 6 months later, we were in contact with her, and she had read through the New Testament, and modestly, she said she'd only read 3 or 4 pages. Well, we started talking about a few things, and she would finish all the stories. And she was saved there, reading through the New Testament on her own, and it's a joy. But she's in a village that's very difficult for us to access. So this shows you some of the villages, and in all these mountain pockets over there, there's villages. They're scattered all over the places, and they're not tightly knit communities. The houses are spread up around a lot. But this is a major village in the area that we work in called Belch. If you've read our newsletters, you've probably heard of it. You see straight in the middle in the back, there's a little tower. And this is the mosque that's there. And they opened it, they spent a year and a half building it, and 6 months after it was open, they closed it because of lack of interest. And we attribute it because we've been preaching the gospel there, and people like what we have to offer, even if they are not believers, and they do not like the Muslim faith in general. We go to many houses, just shows you, you see in the background, you greet the people with a kiss on each cheek. They're really biblical there. I mean, we shake hands and that's about as far as we go, but it says greet one another with a holy kiss. Somehow we've translated that to something different here in America and the West. But the children come and listen, the old people, the older ladies are dressed with the white scarves around their hair all the time. This is the house of one of the couples that have both of them have believed and were baptized a couple years ago. Beautiful day there. We have Bible study and then we spread out into a whole village evangelizing. Now this shows you a little bit of the difficulty of life over there. The sister is in black and white on the right with her sister. They're both sisters in the Lord and physical sisters, and a girl that's in red. The two of them, and one more sister, physical sister that's not a believer, dug a well. Now that's plastic over the top of it, and these rings, they keep putting them on the top, they dig out the dirt underneath, and the rings just fall down. And you'll see that it does get quite deep. And there's somebody working in the bottom, it's one of these girls, and you wonder, well, where are the men? Well, they have more important things to do down at the billiards club. So it's tough, but she was. This was 17 meters deep, I believe, and they were getting the last couple rings down there, and they got stuck, and they wouldn't drop down. They kept digging, and the rings wouldn't drop down. They had to reach their hands up underneath, behind there, and try and find out what was keeping them there, and almost cut her arm off. When they finally fell with a crash, the whole village heard. This is duhan, that's tobacco, getting it ready for the cigarette smokers wherever they are in the world. But these, there's one, this is the mother on the right, she's an unbeliever and she opposes the gospel. And then in the middle in the back are one of the sisters that has believed and has been persecuted a lot because of her faith. But this is typically, sometimes you have to go there and just help them in their work to get them to listen to you. So get your hands sticky with the juice off of tobacco leaves. And I think I don't like doing it at all, but I've done it many times and it's made an impression on them, for the gospel's sake. Water in the villages is a problem. Very rarely will they have running water in their house or in their yard by their house even. They have to go and get their water with buckets or containers like this down to the local well. Here's a shoe shining stand here. There are several men waiting for you to come up and wait your turn. It costs about 30 cents over there. It's not too bad. They do a good job. Tire shop, and used tires, of course, are cheaper than new ones, so you do get a lot of those. There's men that regularly go over to Greece and Italy, and they go to the wrecking yards and they buy the used tires off of the wrecked cars, bring them back over. You never know what you're going to get. Now this is in our yard. This is my son and a couple other believers helping. But just wanted to show you that I mentioned earlier about working a lot on the vehicles. It's a big problem with mud, and this four-wheel drive had been caked with mud and it's carpet in there and all, and we had to take the whole carpet out and clean it and put it back in. It was a lot of work. But you have to do it periodically or it'll rust everything out in the inside. This is a industrial complex next to us. This is a steel mill, ferrochrome, would that be chrome ingots they make here and another place also nearby. Bricks, oxygen, I mean they do everything here, but 12,000 people were employed under communism, and after communism fell, well, presently there are about 600 working there. That's why we have such high unemployment. A couple of young fellows at a house where we do Bible study, and these are as in our yard, you'll see later, they have grapevines that grow up over their patios just to give them shade in the summer. It's very hot, over 100 degrees day by day out there. But it's very dry. It's not humid as it is here. I just gave you a picture of a funeral procession. Quickly, I got it. Our neighbor's son died in a tragic motorcycle accident. A really nice young fellow. I was unsaved. And he was in a month or 2 months, he was going to move back permanently to Albania, and he died just before that. But the people pour out in the streets. They carry the coffin up high. They pass it from hand to hand to hand to hand, way down the street. After the several hundred meters of this, then they put it in a car and slowly they drive through the whole town and then drive to the cemetery. There are no special services there or in the house, except for if they were a Muslim and somebody in the family wants to pay, they'll pay them about half a month's wage for the average person there to sing for 10 minutes. They call it the Muslim priest will sing for 10 minutes and sing his soul up into what he thinks is heaven. So, here we go. So, we were going to another place, and you can see some of the brothers are just a joy to be with at all times. And we go to Bible studies, and we have several pictures on, I believe, on evangelism now. We'll see, but here's a brother from Spain in the center in the background who came and ministered for a while, and my daughter next to him on to the right as we're looking, and she translated for him. And all these people, they were young people in this house, and many of them have been saved since then. We're inside the house. We sit outside the house, wherever they like. We're under trees. We're out in the open air, and preaching is accepted in most places. This young couple, Shpatim, and I can't remember his wife's name right at this moment, but they are both saved after... We went to the village and just had a brief conversation with them. They said, can you come to our place? And it did. In about 3 or 4 weeks, the two of them were saved, and they explained the gospel quite well and showed big changes in their lives. And the whole village said, well, what has happened to these two? There's something. He used to be violent. He used to scream. He used to fight all the time. And now there's peace in their house. What is going on? So you can rejoice with the Lord for their salvation. No, that's not a clown nose that he's got on there. In many houses that we go to, it's many people have poor eyesight. They can't even read. And so we have some brethren in Northern Ireland that send down reading glasses, and we hand those out quite often to places that we go, to the young and old, and with one condition. We give them a New Testament and say, you have to read this, and I'll come back in a few weeks. If you haven't read it, I'm taking your glasses away. So, I'm a nasty fellow there, but they read it, and they do quite well. And there's just a Bible study that we have inside the fellowship in Belch. Now, over on the left, the girl that's halfway cut off, I'm not considering her, but the next two are sisters, and there are three sisters in that family that have come to know the Lord. Three out of four sisters are believers, and these two are extremely strong. They're some of the best evangelists I've ever met in my life, in the East or West, and really work hard for the Lord. Their two younger brothers got saved about a year ago and were baptized in December. And now we just got a phone call last night, and their mother got saved. And she was violently against the gospel. We had just run-in after run-in with her, and they just had a terrible time as sisters to live for the Lord. But they stood strong, and their mother saw it, and now she just got saved. Her name's Kafaze. This is another picture of the meeting we have in Belch. It's mostly young people here, although we do have some in their 30s, and quite often we get people up into their 60s that will come and stay there. This is a woman that handed out literature on a train, and she's reading it, and people are listening, and they're all interested in it. What is this? There are tracts
are well accepted over there in most places still. This is Brother Andy from, he's from Germany, and he's working with us now. He came back down in last September. He's been there almost just over a year right now. And he's using a picture to preach the gospel with because so many people are illiterate in the villages. Sometimes when people are saved, they need physical help, and we do practical works and help them weed the grapevine patch that's on the side of a hill. And went out there and had a wonderful time helping the sister. Other practical works we do is in literature. My son's at the computer. He just helped a few days because he was there to come and get married here in August. But we have three computers in there, and we have a copier and a laser printer. And the Lord's helped us to print several booklets and tracts and different things, and it's well needed over there. Here's some evangelism in front of a school. Students at the beginning, we were allowed to go in and preach the gospel in the schools. It was well accepted. But you can't always find people in villages that you can drive to. Brother Andy, with three other fellows, went to a village. Let me back up there. Way out in there, it was an hour and a half walk in one direction to the village. They were gone all day long, and people wanted them to stay and wanted them to spend more time and explain things, but they were just trying to get the New Testaments out. And they came to a spot and somebody helped them with their animals, and they hauled the New Testaments a ways and gave directions. They were very helpful there. So they were friendly people there. Now this is the village market in Belch. Every week we have from 6 to 10,000 people that come to the outdoor market and buy their things and socialize and visit and everything. It's just a super place to preach the gospel. And when you preach, you have opportunities to do baptisms after people are saved. We've had, regularly have baptisms there, and good weather or bad. In this picture, the temperature was, 33 degrees, just above freezing. But these two young fellows had said, nope, we're going to get baptized. We're not going to wait until springtime. We want to get baptized now. Please, go ahead. So they were on fire for the Lord and gave wonderful testimonies. But Andy and I, we didn't have quite that fire in our bones that day. We were really suffering. But Andy was preaching there, and I translated for him. He doesn't need a translator now, but this was some months ago. He's using one of these wordless books to help explain the gospel and talking about a polluted well and how to clean it. And it's like our hearts, how they need cleansed. Now you see the fellow holding this young fellow. All the believers will be either helping like that, or they'll be working the crowd. And we'll have like 20 of the believers. They all want to go to baptisms and help. And they preach to the crowd after the baptism also. Now this is after the preaching, they have testimonies, and there were two people being baptized that day. It was this couple that you saw on many slides back, and they both gave their testimonies. And it's a real tough thing to get out in front of your whole village and say what has happened in your life. But they did it with their heads up high and with true faith in their hearts. And see, sister dressed in white on the left is preparing to, she'll be talking with people. She's watching who's there, who's come, and who she can talk to afterwards, along with some on the lady with the hair clip on the right there with the light brown shirt or blouse is doing the same thing. So, and then there's the wife being baptized. Her husband, you see him on the right, is already baptized. But the whole village will come together to see a baptism, and you have a wonderful opportunity to preach the gospel, but they're all afraid to be the first one to believe, and so they'll look at each other, and they'll want a Bible, but sometimes they'll just kind of come up to you and nudge you and say, could I have one please, in a whisper, and then they'll go off. You watch where they live, and you go and do a visit there later on. Now, I had just had a couple shots of Kosovo. This whole area that you see right here was black and bombed out. It's been rebuilt already by foreign aid. But in Kosovo, they are very, very resistant to the gospel. It's a tough, tough land. It's very Muslim. They all remember the deaths there, and they blame it on the Christians. They said the Serbs were all Christians. They were Orthodox, that's true, but they weren't Christians. But they don't, as a whole, as in general, they do not want to believe because of the Christians or the ones that killed all their family. When I was there, I saw ashes of burnt bodies, burnt bones, a whole skeleton that was being picked clean by the birds and the dogs, and a boot with a foot still in it. And, I mean, it was terrible. And you can understand why there's a lot of hatred there. Now, the young people oftentimes are able to go out to get-togethers, and sometimes they went down to the beach one day and did some evangelism and had a little time with volleyball down there. It's about an hour and a half away on the train. But they're a good group. This is part of them, and in general, pretty well behaved. Here's our family with another family. We do have time for fun things, go down to the river and swim in there. Just have a good time, because there's a lot of pressure over there. You need to get away a little bit now and then. And this is our camp, a trail, a walk that the kids took on up there. We went high up on a mountain and they had a really good time. We took 13 children from the orphanage with us this time, and it was a good ministry for them. And we don't have real buildings there. We're in the tents. The buildings are... Some entrepreneur owns those now, and he wants to revitalize this area and fix it up as a hotel, etc. So we had a good time. This is our kitchen. Cook outside. We did have water very close to us, only about 20 yards away. But we had a good time until it started raining. This year is the first time we got rain, and we got rain the third day and every day afterwards. But that didn't stop us from having even water fights. So... Yeah, the believers have a good time together up there. And they did plays. They did this actually. It's my daughter on the right, and there's one of the male young fellows on the left. They made a spoof on Romeo and Juliet and just had us all in stitches there. This was the morning of the wedding, and this is where our son and daughter-in-law were married right there. We did it out in the yard in front of the chapel. And it was, we were able to see all people. They filled it up. About 300 people came there. And many of them had never heard the gospel before, never been to any kind of meeting. And there's about 90 of those, there's well over 100 I know now. But they, just loved it. And they called up, our daughter-in-law's family and just thanked them so much that it's the best wedding they'd ever been to. And it's all because of the gospel was there. And it was preached. There's our son and daughter-in-law. She's Albanian, and they're just a wonderful couple. She's very dedicated to the Lord, knows about 8 languages, and a college graduate with honors, just a top student, and a very dedicated wife now. We pray for them. They want to go back and serve the Lord, probably in literature field back in Albania, maybe tin making. Here's some of the believers. There you see a girl in a long dress on the right with her sister next to her in the white blouse. There are two of those sisters that were saved and going on strong for the Lord. We have time counseling. We have small meetings before the general meetings with inquirers and young believers. This is Chanyu in the back with his Bible open in the white shirt. He's about my age, and here he is with 3 young believers. They made, actually 2 fellows have made good professions of faith. The fellow on the left, Besnik, was just saved, a week or maybe 10 days before I left. And I had, he asked me one day he says, well, could we talk sometime? I said, yeah, let's go and have a cup of coffee. So we went over and had a cup of coffee, and he just opened up his heart. It took him about 2 months, and then he was saved. This is a Bible study group that's in one of the houses in Grecken, and sisters go there, and there's 5 young girls now that are saved in that one little village, and then he has 3 or 4 other ones that are very close to being saved. Maybe they're already saved. Here's Esmeralda on the right, Liria on the left, Alma in the middle. Alma is a young believer. The other two have gone and discipled her and worked with her quite often. In Dusk, we have, this is probably one of the rowdiest places on earth that you can find kids that are just terrors. If you think you have bad kids in your Sunday school class, multiply that by 50 and imagine what it's like. And when they get older, they don't stop. They get bad. But brother from Spain was teaching them a little song, and if you keep them distracted, they went on quite well. This young girl, Bukurosha, has already composed 12 songs in her native language, in native rhythms and, you know, harmonies or melodies there that she's made up. And she just has a joy for it and doesn't think anything about it. And then I said, well, I want to tape that. And she got all embarrassed. But we're going to try and tape some, and maybe we can sing them together in Albania. This is in Cerik, which, let's see, 93, 94, the brothers went there and they worked for 1.5 years. Not a single person was saved. And they called it Sodom and Gomorrah because of the immorality and licentiousness there. And there's another story. Next time I speak, I'll probably get to that story about a fellow that threatened my life. And after that, there were some inquirers. Later on, another person, 2 people were saved. And now there's 7 people, I think, in the village or in the city, small city, that are saved. And this is part of them right there. So we had to leave. We didn't work there for about 8 years and went back, and then the Lord opened hearts. These are young fellows. Pray for them, their futures. There are many temptations over there, and they don't have direction in their lives. They don't have a future in Albania economically. It's tough for them to decide where to go. This is the Agapea. This is a yearly feast we have with all the believers together from many assemblies all over the country. This is just parts of them. There will be hundreds more, but just our meetings there, with translators sometimes, and fellowship that we have. Once a month we have a fellowship meal, and more often, and we're not quite as good as you all. You're much more organized than we are, but it's a joy to have that fellowship together inside or out. This is our patio, we concreted it. It was just dirt when we came there, but we cemented it so that people could visit. Now they stay around and they visit for an hour after meetings. Just love to be with one another. This is part of the assembly in El Bosan. Now, when Brother George Sturm and Philip Dindinger went there in 1993, there were 0 believers. And now they're about, in fellowship with us, we have about 80, I think, believers there, plus family that come. And chapel fills up, and especially in, we live next to the university, we get a lot of students that come there. So we get about 120 people in the building there regularly through the winter months. And then it came time to leave. You can't stay forever. In Albania, we had to come back for furlough, and it's a mess. All the family and our daughters were leaving, coming back. One was moving back. Our son was moving back. Our daughter-in-law had her things. We had lots of luggage. But a lot of the believers came down to the airport to see us off. And the first time we came back, they hired a bus, and the whole church came down, and they were crying. There was a terrible, terrible thing to leave. All of them. But they love you, and they want to go on for the Lord. And you can pray for Armir, and his wife, Anna. He's the most knowledgeable brother that is there in the Scriptures, and he's committed to the Lord's work, but he's a little abrasive in his personality, and he's not able to be an elder as of yet. But do pray for him. He's working on changing in his life to be more appealing to, or more palatable to the believers that are there. Pray for also for Librado Salgado, and he's from Mexico. He's a missionary working by himself in another area, and he comes over and we have lots of fellowship with him. He's a good brother. He's single, 45, 46 years old, but very, very dedicated to the Lord. Pray for Librado. And this shows our patio area, and those are grapes, white grapes, blue grapes, all. But it was an exceptionally fruitful year. But I left it there to remind you how fruitful the land is there. But that also means that when there's people getting saved, there's a lot of discipleship going on. We have to, lights please. We have to remember that it's not just seeing people saved and baptized. There's training going on. And we'll end up seeing churches planted in many areas there in Albania. Pray for us. Pray for the other workers that are there. So in brief, that's it. Brother Colton.